Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and sprawling suburbanites, podcast consumers, technophiles, and Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stuff!
Ooh. You know it's time to play, it's time to dance.
From downtown Chicago in the great state of Illinois, at the heart of America the Beautiful, it's the Game Show Show and Stuff! Oh, yeah. That's right. The Game Show Show and Stuff. A show with games and stuff.
I love stuff!
Music, comedy, variety, and more.
Woo! From outer space.
Where you can seriously win fabulous prizes. Trivia games, guessing games, physical challenges. Now on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Everybody dance! And now, a man who needs no introduction. Allow me to introduce your host, introducing Anderson!
We made it.
Oh, boy, did we ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Game Show Show and Stuff. I am your host, Anderson Laufer.
That's right.
And here with me, as always, is our eloquent and affectionate announcer, Mr. James Anthony Zocchelli Jazz, everybody.
Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, everybody. But please do not use my government name. I fought the law, and the law won.
Greetings!
This is going to be our first show after many practice shows here on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Yes, we're on a network!
And what a network it is.
It's so exciting. They have all kinds of great shows, including, but not limited to, Hot Doug.
That's right.
From the Hot Doug Restaurant.
Yeah.
Tony Lasano.
Yeah.
We did his show
just a
couple weeks ago.
It was awesome. He's great and fantastic and marvelous.
We did it as a promo for our show.
That's right.
They do theirs at the Museum of Broadcasting.
Yeah, they
and
sure
do.
And
we do ours.
Nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere.
That's right. In a museum of junk curated and collected by yours truly.
That's right. It's like we're at Sanford and Sons. Except with white guy toys.
You know it, buddy.
And we are very excited because we have some special guests here with us tonight.
Yes, we do. Very special indeed.
One guest we have with us, all the way from Chicago as well.
Oh, wow.
All the way here to nowhere.
Uh-huh.
He is an actor, voiceover artist.
Wow.
A film actor.
Ooh.
A commercial actor. And he does all, basically an actor.
Okay.
He does all kinds of different things inside of the acting realm.
Yeah, that's usually what actors do.
And his name is Mickey O'Sullivan.
Yeah!
Hey, guys. So nice to be a part of this show here with you. You forgot I'm also a model.
That's right. He's a model, too.
He's a model, too?
Yeah, that's perfect.
And a model one.
Hey. Yeah, I got it.
You can expect more jokes like that.
That's right.
Here on our show.
That's right.
Well, we're very excited to be on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, Jazz. Our show's going to be released probably Monday in the morning.
Yeah, something like
that. Or Tuesday mornings.
Who knows?
One of those mornings.
It doesn't matter because once it's out there in the ether, it's just for the ages.
But if people are really jonesing for the show,
right.
That's when they can get it.
As they are wont to do for our show.
And Radio Misfits is cool. We got a few different offers after we left WLUW, after we were relieved of our jobs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And The one that really stood out to us was the Radio Misfits Network.
That's right.
Because they have big things cooking.
Yeah, they sure do.
And the president, Ed Sylla, has some big ideas.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm crazy about that guy.
Yeah, no, he's awesome.
He was the, for those of you who don't know, he was on the Steve Dahl show.
That's right.
For 17 years.
For 17 years.
And he's made great strides. He has a lot of great connections to different people in the business. And starting this week, our show will be on a week later. But
okay, right.
Starting,
but starting this week, they have a big announcement, don't they?
A big announcement. And the big announcement is... Oh, get the drum roll, not the rim shot.
Hold on.
Dickhead.
They have a big announcement, huh, Andy?
That's right. And the big announcement is... You can catch Artie Lang
on
the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Starting in what, sometime in June?
Starting this Friday, so the first week of June.
All right, June 2016. Hey, and there's our guest.
Ricky.
You should play his message now.
I will.
Hello.
30 minutes late, Ricky Harris.
It's like a tornado out there.
I actually just got up this way. I will be looking for parking in 2 minutes. I am at Devon and Clark.
That's Ricky Harris. The best thing about podcasts, Mickey.
Yeah.
Have you met Ricky before?
I've not met Ricky before.
Okay. Well, one of the best things about podcasts is you can pause it. So.
Is it paused right now?
I think so.
Oh, wow. So we can say whatever we want. I mean, which isn't really different from podcasts in general.
Right. But we don't have to be worried about pacing and all that.
Right.
What's up, man? Sit right over there. Your big Mary Poppins umbrella.
It's wild. It's raining. In the umbrella section.
Ricky, I'm Mickey.
Ricky.
That's me.
That just works.
Mm-hmm. Put on those headphones there.
Do you need to go to the bathroom or do anything?
Yeah, you were in the car for like 2 hours.
I have like a piss jar that I use.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm there for hours.
You got some hand sanitizer?
It's like, what do you do?
So you got to talk with these mics directly into the head.
Do-do-do.
Directly in the head.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, buddy.
I did just come off of IML weekend, so.
Greetings!
Hey.
Jazz, where were we?
I have no idea, Anderson, but let's introduce our other guest.
Okay, we have another guest here with us today.
Yeah, we do.
He is another actor, singer, performer. He's a member of the Barrel of Monkeys Theater Company.
Yes!
And he is an outstanding dude. And his name is Ricky Harris.
Ricky Harris is in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here.
Thank
you. You made it. How long did it take you to drive here from, where were you, Beverly?
I was in Bronzeville. So as soon as I got on Lakeshore Drive, as soon as we got to the stadium, it was backed up. Usually it's through the Mag Mile, it's a little slow, then it opens up. No, but today it was all the way up to Belmont.
Really?
So, what's going on over there? What's happening in Bronzeville? Is that your home?
Yeah, that's where I live, yes.
Why do you live down there if you got to do everything on the north side?
Well, I don't do everything on the north side. Plus, there's always parking, and I live in a gated community, so it's very nice.
Oh, is that right?
Wow.
There's a gate around our parking lot.
Is there a gatekeeper?
No, but you can press a button to get in.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Would you be concerned about, like, if dinosaurs or zombies came through, like, would they be able to get over, or is your gated community pretty safe?
We're pretty safe down there. You know, dinosaurs would be scared to come down.
Yeah,
here.
They don't want to go to Bronzeville.
No.
Well, they can't. Hell no. They can't. Trying to get shot in Bronzeville?
I survived this extinction, and now I'm going to get shot on the south side?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Heggy no.
It is nice down there. Bronzeville is especially nice.
It's actually a very historic and lovely, lovely part of Chicago.
Right. Quit joking on Bronzeville.
We're being gentrified just like the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that is a great place to gentrify, speaking as a white man.
Yes.
It's a nice place for us to plant our flags.
That's right.
And say, get out!
Yeah.
The artists have come.
That's right.
It's funny.
We need your cheap storefronts for more theaters.
It's funny because it's true.
Well, we're very excited that Mickey O'Sullivan and Ricky Harris are here with us.
Yes, it's the Mickey and Ricky show.
That's great. They're going to take over here in a little while.
I tell you what, if there was ever a duo of dudes who could become the next podcasting phenomena after us, of course.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
I think these guys might be it.
That's right. So Radio Misfits Network, please do not pick up these guys and steal our business. You're on your own. Go to Chirp or something like that. Whatever it's called. All right, Jazz. I think that's all the introduction we need to do for this new network. Do you think we need to do any more?
No, not necessarily.
People are welcome to send us emails if they have any questions or concerns.
Okay.
They can tweet us at Game Show Radio.
Yes, they can.
They can follow us on Facebook.
Please do.
The Game Show Show and stuff.
That's right.
You'll see a picture of both of our ugly mugs up there.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And where else can you find us, Jazz? That's on the radiomisfits.com.
That's right.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know, bro. We got it all right there.
Okay, great. Now, Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with news.
Sounds good to me.
The Game Show Show and Stuff is brought to you by And Stuff Productions. And Stuff Productions. Purveyors of fine comedy for over 5 years. Not quite 10 years. Maybe about 8.5 years.
If you have been in an accident or accident prone, have witnessed an accident, or would like to be in an accident, thousands upon thousands of dollars could be rightfully yours. Imagine that.
Stu, that is unimaginable.
Believe it.
Stu, that's unbelievable.
But true.
Stu, that's some bull.
That may be, but you'll never know until you call my 24-hour hotline. Simply dial 1-900-2-LITIG. Eight. That's 1-900-254-8438. Call now and watch the scales of justice tip in your favor. So whether you've been hit by a reckless driver,
that's a bull,
crushed by a falling piano,
unbelievable,
or mauled by a wild tiger,
unimaginable,
Stu LaRue is the lawyer for you.
$15.95 for the first minute, $7.95 each additional minute. The law offices of Stu LaRue and Stu LaRue's legal advice hotline is not liable for any countersuit damages. Results are not guaranteed. This is for entertainment purposes only. Must be 18 or over to call. Uncertified professional legal advisors are standing by. Call now.
1-900-2-LITIG-8.
And we're back.
That's right. Thank you, Stu LaRue, attorney at law. That's our first advertising business, Jazz.
That's right.
He paid good money for that spot.
Indeed,
God
he did.
God damn it, he's going to have it.
That's right. He sure is.
We should also mention we can curse whenever we want.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's true.
Radio Misfits Network.
That's right. Our motto here at the Game Show Show and Stuff is now, fuck the dump button.
Yeah, that's right.
How fast did that dump button work? Like,
it was like a 7-second delay, so you could hit it within a few seconds of something having gone wrong, and it would essentially eliminate the previous 7 seconds and then the
next
remaining
7 seconds.
Oh, that fucking sucks.
That's a real cocksucker of a button. You know
oh, shit balls.
Well,
we
Jazz,
hated that shit.
Woo-hoo.
Now that I have your attention, Jazz,
mm-hmm.
Let's do the news.
Time now for Anderson Lawfer presents something about things in the news and stuff.
Oh, yeah, everybody's favorite segment on our show.
I know people were worried that when we switched to the Radio Misfits Network that the news segment would be gone forever. Mm. People, we received many emails mm-hmm. about it, but I don't mean, worry.
Just sacks and sacks full of email.
It's here to stay.
That's right. Hallelujah and praise the Lord.
Shitting in Cincinnati.
What else is new?
A Cincinnati man was jailed after he allegedly stripped naked in front of an employee at a Kroger store in Hyde Park in Cincinnati and defecated on a U-scan machine.
Oh. That is gross.
Colin Murphy, 23, was charged with public indecency and disorderly conduct for his actions, which took place on Sunday, according to police.
Wow, this is recent, huh?
According to a court affidavit, Murphy smelled of alcohol. No. Can you believe it?
No.
Slurred speech and staggered walk.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
There's,
man.
That's for you.
And no other information about the about the incident.
How much of the shit weigh?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it had a if it like rang it up. $16 a pound.
He was on a weight loss program.
God. This is almost as bad as that story where the woman went into her boss's office and shat on his desk, but got caught.
She did.
She got caught.
Because she said she won the lottery.
Right.
Heaven knows if she actually won the fucking lottery.
I mean, I'd imagine. You
why
don't
do you,
just
why do, you
go...
do that if you don't want to be caught?
Right.
You do that on purpose to be caught. Like, I'm shitting on your desk now. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
She said that she had put up with his shit for years. It was time that he finally put up with hers.
I never think I would have the courage to actually do that. Because, first of all, I'm uncomfortable shitting in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
In public.
And I don't want anyone to see the stuff that comes out of me. There's a lot of stuff I'm uncomfortable
with.
Yeah,
I can't even shit in a public bathroom when there's someone else in the room. Like, if I'm if I'm the only person in there and someone else comes in, I'll, like, stop shitting.
Yeah. Because you're like, this is too weird.
I don't want to make those noises.
No.
And offend somebody else. Even though it is natural, and that's the place to do it. So could you imagine just dropping trow on the conveyor belt at the Jewel?
You got to be fucked up, dude. You got to be seriously fucked
pretty
up.
Pretty messed up.
Because that's not even like the bathroom's locked. I'm just going to shit in the corner by the hardware. It's the middle of the night. No one's going for hardware. Or you find like a corner like... Nobody's going to buy those, like, grocery store toys right now in the middle of the night.
Right.
So I'll shit in the kids' section.
I worked at a Barnes & Noble once where somebody came up and, no joke, they shat in the new releases section.
We had to clean it up. Did you?
No.
When you got to go, you got to go.
There's a big log right in the middle.
It was just right there. In the new releases.
Were they upset about the releases?
They must have been.
That's what they were saying.
Mama, what's this? Shit.
Beetlejuice? Hell no. Yeah. Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Wait, can you pause 1 second? Mickey, do us a favor and make sure.
Make sure it's right here?
Try to put, you know, don't go. If you go off to the side like this, do you hear the difference between this
absolutely.
And this?
Totally.
So, like, if you're over here.
Yeah, there you go.
Right here?
So yeah, there
the
it is.
Sweet spot, dude.
I just got to get my lips all over the head.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Get your lips on the head.
That's important.
Yeah. That's half the deal. Yeah.
You just got to keep them there, though. That's the hard part.
Be successful, get your lips on
if
the
it gets
head.
A little loose, you know.
I'm just saying.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know.
Ricky's just admiring my lip work.
I got a few pointers.
You can do it better, Mickey, is what he was saying.
I read the BuzzFeed article. 18 ways to please your lover.
Only 18?
Yes, Anderson.
Pizza for alimony.
That's a dream come true for some deadbeat dads.
Well, you're right about that. An Italian court has acquitted a divorced father who offered to pay child support with pizza. This sounds like a racist joke. Doesn't
it? Does. It really does. I'm surprised my father didn't try to pay child support with pizza.
When Nicola Tosso split from his wife, Nicoletta Zuin, in 2002, he agreed to pay child support for their daughter, who was then 6 years old, in the amount of about $335 per month.
Okay.
It translates to like 300 euros.
Okay, sure.
But when a crippling recession struck Italy in 2008, the 50-year-old the 50-year-old professional pizza maker from Padua could no longer afford to hand over the support in cold, hard cash. Instead, he offered to stump up the equivalent sum in the form of pizza pies and calzones. Now, this is where the story gets totally fucked.
Okay.
Because then the pizza man, if this wasn't trouble enough,
mm-hmm.
you're paying your wife, your ex-wife, for your kids in pizza and calzones.
Yeah.
Then he decides to remarry and have three more kids.
Oh, come on. No way.
That's a full pizza.
Yeah, that's right. It's like 12 pizzas a week.
Bankrupt.
He shuttered his business in 2010, which is when Zween filed a criminal complaint against him because she wasn't getting the fucking pizza pies, alleging non-payment of child support. It culminated in a criminal case, which was heard at a courthouse in Padua last week.
Wow. Mm. Unbelievable. God, could you imagine the hand gestures during that?
Yeah. I give her you pizza. You don't like the meatballs? They also use English over there.
Hey, what are you doing?
Toso's defense attorney argued that despite enduring extremely tough times, he'd still fulfilled all his other custody obligations and even taking in his daughter in 2011 when her relationship with her mother broke down, after which Zween was then supposed to pay 300 euros per month to him.
Wow.
Mm. She should have paid it in, like, salads or vegetables.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, get everybody stopped up from eating all those pizzas all
good
day.
Good for the goose.
God. So Judge Bitozzi found there was no evidence of any crime being committed, and Toso was acquitted.
Wow. All right. Well, good for him. Good for that family. You know, nothing is worse than divorce except for the conflicts that arise after divorce, and especially if they're over pizza.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? I mean, just the sullied, you know, the way that experience must have sullied that child's experience of pizza.
Mm. Or this kid in school, they're like, your dad pays for you with calzones, bro. You're worth 10 calzones a week to your dad.
During lunch, he's like, I'm sorry, guys, you can't take my lunch. And like, we know your dad pays you in pizza. Come on.
Yeah, that's how you live, just in pizzas all day.
Oh, my God.
Me, Mario.
That's a good one.
Mario. It's really upsetting, actually.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I was watching The Godfather for the first time yesterday.
Yeah?
For the first time ever,
yeah. Wow.
What do you think?
I was hooked. Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie.
It's good.
Yeah, you can't really...
Is it as good as everyone says it is?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Anytime
I see something nowadays. I saw Star Wars for the first time a couple months ago, and I was like, this is the big fucking deal about this?
Thank you.
Come on, dude.
Come on. I could see 30 years ago, you see it, and you're like, oh, my God, this is life-changing.
Yeah.
You know? But what's really the difference between that and like Conan the Barbarian?
Conan the Barbarian is also good.
Quinn the Medicine Woman?
Quinn the Medicine Woman.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah.
let's not get on Star Wars again, Anderson.
All right.
We're gonna fall into a row. Although here's the thing. So you recently just said that you for the first time ever played Monopoly.
I did.
Oh. And isn't Monopoly as good as people say it is?
I loved it.
See?
I loved it. I played it, and then I was over at somebody's house, and I played Monopoly. I went out on the way home, got on Amazon, and ordered a Monopoly for my home. So now I have a Monopoly that comes with the new Monopoly. Uh-huh. I wasn't playing new Monopoly back at the other place.
Okay.
The new Monopoly has skyscrapers and train depots and a speed die where you roll it and then you run to different places. I haven't opened it yet.
Wow.
So. But it looks way fancier. And it also has a credit card machine. So everyone has a credit card instead of cash.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's too much, right?
Art imitating life right there.
Yeah, for real.
Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
It's time for some more shit out of Cincinnati.
You know I love the shitty Queen City.
Now, who here can tell me who Henry Heimlich is?
Well.
Go ahead.
Henry Heimlich is the man who invented the Heimlich.
There you go. That's him. Dr. Henry Heimlich.
I was going to say, he's got to be a doctor.
The 96-year-old Cincinnati surgeon, credited with inventing the life-saving technique named for him, used it for the first time in his life this week.
Wow, no way.
To save a fellow senior citizen resident who was choking on a hamburger.
Wow.
Henry Heimlich, who in multiple national television appearances has demonstrated the Heimlich maneuver to dislodge food from an airway, had never actually done it for real.
Wow.
But on Monday, last week, Heimlich was sitting at a communal dining table at Cincinnati's Dupree House, an upscale senior citizen center where he lives.
Of course.
I don't know why fucking Henry Heimlich doesn't have the money to get the fuck out of Cincinnati. I'd be like, man, somebody named some shit after me. I'm out of here.
He must love it there. Look, he's almost 100 years old.
100?
Uh-huh. He's like 96 years old.
Wow.
What's the money in creating the Heimlich maneuver?
Yeah, I don't know.
Once we all know it.
Well, once you copyright it, then if they put it up at restaurants and all that stuff, they have to... Don't you think?
No, I don't know, man.
Patent it.
Like, doesn't Lou Gehrig get money every time somebody gets Lou Gehrig's disease? Oh,
that is awful.
He gets a nickel. He gets a nickel every time.
Oh, man. That's
anyway, he was
poor taste.
20 cents right there.
He was dining at this place and noticed his fellow resident in distress while eating an open-faced hamburger.
Wow.
That's how old people eat hamburgers.
Yeah, they do.
He dashed out of his seat, put his arms around her, and pressed in her abdomen below the rib cage, following his own instructions, which are displayed on posters, required to be displayed in most restaurants in the United States. And then, what happened then? After three compressions, the piece of meat came out, and she started breathing.
Wow.
I sort of felt wonderful about it, just having saved that girl, Heimlich said. There you go.
Yeah,
pretty nice story.
You feel wonderful about it,
and I'm sure she felt wonderful being called a girl because she was probably like 86 years old.
Yeah, she was like, "Thank you for calling me a girl after you saved me from." Now you saw me barf food up too out of my old ass mouth. Like, there's nothing grosser.
It's because she couldn't chew it.
Yeah,
I mean, she choked on a hamburger. She didn't chew properly.
There is literally nothing grosser in the world than a 96-year-old woman choking on a hamburger, and then compressing her rib cage until she spits it up in the middle of a senior center.
Oh.
Like, wow. It's just so sad. And you know, it was all quiet, and you could just hear, like, Wheel of Fortune on a 10E television, like, in the background, you
totally.
Know? Oh, yeah. But that begs a question, Jazz.
Yes, Anderson.
Ricky, Mickey. Mm. What would you like to have named after you?
Wow.
Now, obviously, as we just covered with Lou Gehrig,
yeah.
A disease is probably not your first choice.
No.
Maybe something with cunnilingus would be cool.
Oh, sure.
Like, you're doing the James. That'd be cool, right?
The first thing that came to mind was, like, the Zoccoli equation.
Oh, like
it's a solve
a new
something.
Triangle.
But actually, I think that the Zoccoli equation could very easily be applied to cunnilingus. So
yeah.
I think we could kill two birds with one stone there.
It's like making a scalene triangle with your tongue.
That's right. 17 times.
Yeah. Me, my tongue, plus your box equals awesomeness.
It's funny because it's true.
I've got something named after me already.
Really? Oh.
But it's not named after me personally, and I don't like it. It's the Roofie, right? The Mickey? Drop you a Mickey?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Right. And then I've got Mickey Mouse, and I've got, Mickey Mantle. And
but sure, we want to say, yeah, the Mickey Mantle disease is
but like
alcoholism.
Alcoholism.
That's right. But what if you invented a cocktail or a beverage, and it was like the O'Sullivan? Something like that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And this is what it would the effect would be like it would be called the Law of Mickey, and you'd order it say one Law of Mickey, please, and it would instantly give you an excuse to leave.
It's like, oh, gotta go.
That's a good one, dude.
So it's like an Irish goodbye.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
But
that's
in
good.
A glass.
Mm-hmm.
So you would drink it. So you'd say, I'll have the Law of Mickey.
I'll have the Law of Mickey. And you drink it, and it gives you an excuse in the bottom of the glass.
Nice. To go.
Like, oh.
Pretty good.
Oh, wow.
It's like a fortune. It's an Irish fortune cookie.
There it is.
That's fancy.
The Mickey
Brilliant.
O'Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And really? Your name is borderline racist.
Yeah.
Alone.
I guess so.
Mickey O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Like, you sound like a potato farmer.
My brother's name is Don, so we used to get made fun of a lot in grade school.
Oh.
Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's really unoriginal.
Wow. Man, kids are fucking stupid.
They are. Really, really. And they're all assholes.
That's true.
Ricky Harris, what would you have?
I would want a sexual position named after me.
Ooh. Which one?
I'd have to invent it. It'd have to be some position where you're getting off on all orifices of your body.
Oh, wow.
At one time, and like when you are ready to come to climax.
To explode.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's a Ricky.
Yeah.
That's a Ricky.
That'd be pretty interesting to hear somebody say, you know, like, hey, let's do the Ricky.
He's like, oh, shit, okay.
Uh-oh.
Let's do it.
Here comes the Ricky.
Oh, my gosh. I like it. That's a good one, too.
Oh, oh, oh.
That's you coming to climax.
Yeah.
Ricky.
Yes.
Hold on. Bend over. Here comes the Ricky.
Oh, oh, oh. I like it.
Oh, that's good stuff. That is good stuff.
I think I'd like to have something totally opposite of me named after me. Like okay. Maybe like a children's bookstore or a fountain for geese.
Okay. You know,
the Anderson Laufer Memorial Goose Fountain.
Wow. Okay. That's great. That's really.
I'd throw a dime in there.
That's a very.
Although
noble.
It's probably something with like old residue-filled straws.
God. No, you know what's funny is I feel like we've already named something after you,
okay.
Anderson.
What's that?
Well, you with your propensity to, shall we say, take things to the extreme and. Belabor a point,
mm-hmm.
We have behind your back often referred to loffering a joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the only way I know how to tell a joke is to tell it 40 times.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it gets warped slightly further and further away from the original intent of the joke, and by the time you get to the end of the joke, nobody wants to talk about the joke anymore.
Yeah, everyone's done with the joke.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, how did the joke end up so dirty and... just nasty all of a sudden out of nowhere.
It's funny because it's true.
Well, that's my talent.
That's right.
Butt chugging to death.
Ooh.
Not again.
That's right. Michael Warner, Jazz, 58-year-old machine shop operator from what? Lake Jackson, Texas.
Okay.
This happened in Texas.
No way. Not Florida?
I know, this seems very Floridian.
Yeah.
But it's Texas. Died of alcohol intoxication after receiving an enema from his wife, consisting of two large bottles of sherry wine.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Warner was a severe alcoholic and was at the time suffering from a throat ailment. Can you imagine a guy with a throat ailment happens to be an alcoholic?
Unbelievable.
Left him unable to drink liquids.
Wow.
He had apparently had his wife help with the procedure in order to relieve his cravings, not realizing that compounds like alcohol are absorbed into the bloodstream far more quickly and directly when administered rectally than when ingested orally.
Oh, my gosh. What a devoted woman, though.
Yeah. She's like, let me pour some of this like $2 sherry in your asshole.
Oh, my God. I wonder what kind of funnel they had to use for that.
Because, you know, he was like, please, baby.
Yeah.
I need it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to die. Just pour it right there in my butthole.
God.
Warner's wife was cleared of all legal responsibility for his accidental death.
Really?
Wow.
No.
It wasn't her fault.
Okay,
she was doing what he told her.
Yeah.
You want
she was an obedient
that's
wife.
That's assisted suicide right there.
You want
there.
Me to pour some Boone's Farm in your butthole?
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Georgia
you.
Peach.
The man said so.
They always say, like, ignorance. You know, you don't get away with breaking the law over ignorance, right?
Well, we'll talk more about this in a second, because we're going to talk a little bit about this gorilla story.
But
chugging. No, but I will say that if some dude... who is obviously a hillbilly and does all kinds of bullshit where he can't use his throat anymore.
Yeah.
Comes up to you and is giving you a hard time about not having a drink. He is probably just like you cannot stand to be around this dude.
Yeah.
Unless he's had a couple drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's unbearable because he beats the shit out of you.
You're making a lot of assumptions about this guy, but they're
probably
true.
I don't know Michael Warner, 58-year-old machine shop operator from Lake Jackson, Texas. But he begged his wife to pour two bottles of sherry in his asshole.
He did do that.
So Assumptions aside, pretty gross.
Oh, God.
All right, now let's talk about gorillas.
Shall we? I love gorillas. Talk to us about gorillas, Anderson.
Now, I'm not much for topical news because I feel like we do a disservice to our show because we're not very knowledgeable about topical news.
Anything, really.
Anything. I like to find weirdo stories. Mm-hmm. But there's no weirder story in the world right now, and it also happens to be topical.
It's true.
Now, a lady takes her child to the zoo in Cincinnati, of all places. It's a big Cincinnati day for us.
It really is. It's yeah. Queen City kind of day here.
And this kid starts talking to his mom, and he says, I want to go down there in that gorilla cage, and I'm going to climb over this and go down there. And the mom laughs it off. The mom starts looking at something else. She turns around, and her baby is down in the gorilla cage.
Right.
The gorilla sees the baby, kind of plays with him for a minute, then picks him up by his head or his arms and kind of starts swinging him around.
Oh, Lord. I haven't even had the gall to look at this video. I just
yeah,
don't think
yeah.
I
haven't
I don't
seen
think
the
I
video.
Have the intestinal fortitude to watch this
I haven't seen the video
child.
Either. I don't want to have anything to do with it, and I don't want to be any more graphic than we just were about
right. yeah,
the situation. So the gorilla then is a gorilla.
That he is.
300 pounds, I think.
300? Yeah, 350 pounds, oh, something like that.
Harambe.
And so the zoo officials decide, instead of tranquilizing the gorilla, because if you tranquilize a gorilla for the first few seconds, it kind of goes into an outrage because it's being shot.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
As we all would. So they decide to shoot the gorilla to death. Now, that makes sense to me because obviously, in our society, human life is more important than animal life. Mm. The animal is already locked up in a fucking cage, so
true.
We kind of made that decision already.
It was a mercy killing.
Right. Now, should the mother be prosecuted? And the reason I ask is because the woman put out a statement that said, please don't judge me. I'm just a parent doing the best I can. Now, she does not apologize anywhere in her statement.
Right.
Or says that she's saddened or feels sick about the whole thing or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
She says, don't judge me. I'm doing the best I can. I personally believe that she should have apologized, at least apologized.
She doesn't care about that gorilla.
She doesn't give a shit about
it. And it's not like she was a bad parent. Like, if she was a bad parent, her kid would have been taken away from her. Mm-hmm. Before then, she just looked away. So, I mean, I wouldn't apologize. Shoot that damn gorilla. Shit.
How about apologizing then, to the zoo officials, though?
Oh, fuck them. They got a chance to shoot somebody. Yeah, we never get that opportunity.
They were stoked to shoot a gorilla.
Oh, come on. We can finally use these guns. They probably had to go through a training and shit. Like, finally, this training is coming in handy.
Oh, my God.
So, you're welcome, zoo officials. Secondly, I'm like, oh, do we use gorilla fur for something? I'm like, what
can... yeah, you want to make it like
I'm
a gorilla
blanket, his security blanket for
like,
the rest
let's
of...
Let's keep his dream alive. Keep him alive. And
thank you, Harambe, for these excellent new gorilla shoes.
Right.
Oh, my
well, they're
God.
Investigating well, the mother very closely now. And actually, Jack Hanna came out and defended the decision to put the gorilla down. So
I don't think there's any other decisions
yeah, come
to
on.
Make. But, on the, well, we could say, like, listen, these gorillas, we're taking them out of their beautiful, stately creatures, and we're taking them out of the jungles and putting them in these cages. Let's give them 3 kids a year. I've always said that. I always said that. The same thing about Michael Jackson. I was like, no, Michael Jackson is a child molester.
Oh, Lord.
But if he is, we don't know for sure, but if he is, just take the sickly kids that nobody really wants.
Come
you just
on.
Do whatever you want with them. And in exchange,
sickly
you
kids.
Have to be the most famous person in the world and can't ever leave your house.
Sickly kids.
Or bad kids. Whoever. Whoever.
Yeah. Sick or bad. Whatever. Yeah. He wants. He's
so
the
wait,
deal.
Why isn't this the kid's fault?
Dealer's choice.
It bad is, kids.
Because kids are stupid, as you said before. Yeah. They don't know how to make right decisions.
That's true.
Oh, let me go play with this gorilla. Okay.
Yeah, that kid doesn't know. But that mom, as soon as the kid says, I'm going to climb down there, you need to grab that kid and be like, don't you ever fucking climb in that gorilla cage.
Yeah, that absolutely. Gorilla will fucking kill you.
Yeah, in those exact words.
Snap you.
That's right. This is not this is not a cartoon. This is not one of your stuffed animals. This is not some animatronic shit at Chuck E. Cheese. This is a real motherfucking gorilla.
Yeah. This is why we're at the zoo. Right, to look exactly. at this majestic beast and yeah. realize that it can end us if it wanted
right.
to.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, my
gosh. So where are we coming down? Should she apologize? Ricky says no.
No.
A hard no for Ricky.
Oh, wow. I mean, here's the thing. I think I would apologize just because I apologize for everything, no matter what, because it's always the safest bet. But yeah, I think I would say, you know, and I like I said, I haven't watched all of the coverage and I certainly haven't read all of the articles and all the quotes, but I would imagine that something that people want to hear is thank you for saving my boy. I'm sorry. This gorilla is no longer there. You know,
yeah. I mean, anything like that.
Yeah. Just anything in that ballpark would probably be satisfactory to people. And the fact that she said something defensive first is probably what's rubbing people the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, I had a couple exchanges on Facebook, which you're not supposed to do.
No, don't do things, that. You know?
And people were like, you know, you don't know how you would react in certain times of trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you would just be thinking of protecting yourself and not apologizing outright, which might be true. But I also think that I'm projecting, but I think for me, if I was the cause, directly mm-hmm. the cause of a gorilla being killed, I would spend every moment of my life or whatever money it takes or whatever volunteer time it takes for me to not feel that on my conscience
yeah,
the
sure.
rest of my life.
Sure.
So that's what I would do, I think. Yeah. Or maybe I'd be like, fuck that gorilla. Let's go to McDonald's.
Or let's have some gorilla meat.
Yeah.
Like, that's so American of us, right? Like, we're just going to let the animal go to waste, right? Like,
right.
Come on.
I mean, use the fur and then use the bones, right? Just like the yeah. buffalo. Come on.
Oh, I bet you they'll stuff them and put them on display.
Yeah, Harambe.
I mean, wouldn't you put them in a museum or something?
I don't know. I wouldn't.
I mean, this is probably the biggest gorilla story to come out of anywhere for since
gorillas
ever.
In the mist.
this kid, like 15 years from now, will be the biggest victim of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he had a big old gorilla shot right above him. He will be the center of news.
Yeah.
If his mother were prosecuted, gone from his life.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And they'll be like, why's your mom gone? And he'll be like, because I climbed in a gorilla cage like a real asshole when I was 3 years old.
What a dick I was.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing, too, though, is he might be young enough that all the trauma won't have that big of an impact. He's only 3 years old,
but
right?
But the internet is forever.
That's true.
Or it'll be like a soldier, like people who have, like, you know, your brain has, like, mechanisms to protect itself.
PTSD
so,
style.
Yeah, so maybe you just, like, the blinds go up, and then you just don't ever remember it happening.
Is that like the Nirvana kid who was swimming in the pool? Like,
yeah, and he doesn't remember
it. Doesn't remember.
Everyone's seen his penis.
Poor kid.
Yeah. Now he's like a big old fat dude with a beard.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He's like Haley Joel. He's like 26 years old, dude.
Wow.
We're old.
I guess we're old.
Yeah. Well, Jazz.
Uh-huh.
It's almost time to take a butt-chugging break for us.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to do that.
We'll see. But have you guys ever butt-chugged? Any of you guys?
Me either.
No. Have you tried butt chugging, Mickey?
No, I've not. I would
it's
be willing
okay
to try it
have
for a certain price.
Have you done it? Did you see people do it in college?
No, I saw a group of people dip tampons in there as if they were going to do that, but not in the rectum.
Oh. In their vaginas.
In their vagines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that's a big thing for kids because it gets soaked in your bloodstream faster, right. But I've never seen any of that.
No.
I used to do a lot of crazy shit, but I never did anything like that.
Not that crazy.
No, because I have a mouth.
Yeah.
You have a healthy stuff throat. In my mouth. I yeah, that's right.
That's all you need.
Yeah. I can swallow.
So is that the news, Anderson?
Jazz, that's the news.
This has been Anderson Lauffer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
It was our most popular segment on the radio, and it's bound to be our most popular segment on the internet.
It's going
to
get us famous, Jazz.
Oh, man, so famous.
Just reading other people's news.
I mean, just the way you recycle things is so laudable.
With barely any original ideas. Well, on that note.
Yes, Anderson.
Let's take a minute and hear about the lizard person of the week.
Sounds good to me.
The Game Show Show and Stuff is brought to you by And Stuff Productions. And Stuff Productions, purveyors of fine comedy for over 5 years. Not quite 10 years. Maybe about 8.5 years.
Pause it. All right, we're rolling. And we're back. Everybody's eating Pez and mints and vaping and all kinds of crazy stuff here and nowhere. And
That's right.
Back to the show.
I'm pretty excited about the lizard person of the week, Jazz.
Oh, man.
That's another thing that's going to make us really famous.
Absolutely. And if we can buddy up to some reptoids on our ascent through the entertainment industry,
we'll only move that much faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how people get... How do you think Tim Tebow got so famous?
I have no idea.
That's right. You think he's praying to God?
No, it's the lizard people.
That's right.
From Alpha Centauri.
Praying to a giant alligator man.
That's right.
Well, we have Ricky Harris.
Yes, we do.
From Barrel of Monkeys.
Hey.
Harris. And Mickey O'Sullivan.
Yes. Don't stoke our audience in the wrong direction, because they will.
They will get furiously mad.
They'll turn on me like a barrel of monkeys.
Now, the reason we're here today, and I got two of my favorite actors in town.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you a quick story, Jazz. I met Ricky doing a kids show a long time ago called Junie B. Jones in Emerald City, and we kind of hit it off, and we've been buddies ever since.
I imagine so.
Now, Mickey O'Sullivan, when I was the artistic director of Hugin Hall at Straw Dog, we were auditioning for this play called DOA, which is an old 50s movie called Dead on Arrival.
Yeah.
And we were doing the first stage adaptation of it.
Really? The first
and
ever?
I was really hoping to be the main guy in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting in all the auditions as the artistic director, so I had to be there, right?
Sure.
And Lizzie and I just had an understanding that I was going to play... Lizzie was the director, that I was going to play the main guy.
Okay.
So we didn't even really read people to be the main guy.
Okay.
So, but we needed a reader for the day because I can't do both.
Right.
So we brought in Mickey O'Sullivan to read the part.
Right.
With all the women who are coming
in.
Sure. Love interests. And we got done with the auditions, and I said, hey, you know what? I think this guy is... better than I am for this part. And he wasn't even auditioning. He just happened to be sitting around there.
Wow.
And so we said, hey, do you just want to do it? And he was like, I think so.
I thought you were it. I was watching you. I sat down to have a sandwich about halfway through the day, and you got up and read, and I was like, oh, that's it. I get it. And up until the day that we opened that show, the day we closed that show, I stole at least 20 lied readings from you.
Well, that's nice to hear. That's good to hear.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good theater story that can probably only happen in Chicago.
Yeah, that's absolutely
real.
Right.
I got that call the night before from the casting director, Noel. Oh, was it Noel or somebody was helping out? And they called me like, yeah, our reader is unavailable. Can you come in? And I read it, and it was like a short little... I love reading plays that don't take, like, 5 hours.
Because
then you know you could read it over and over and over again if you had to or if you wanted to. And I read it, and I was like, oh, fuck. They're going to go with somebody that's way older. You.
Oh, God. How dare you, sir. You take that back.
I was like, well, I'll have one opportunity to do it. And that one opportunity would have been the... at audition.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, the reason we brought you both here today is because you're both no-nonsense guys. And recently, I was talking to some friends of mine, and they were all kind of complaining about various Chicago theater situations they were in. And they were having a hard time with organization from the small companies they were a part of, or feeling like their time wasn't respected and things like that. So Jazz and I got to thinking, what would make you finally say fuck you to a theater? Now,
that's a tough question.
We're all have had it beat into us that we will live and die by the show, and that doing our best is what's the most important, and we'll go down with the ship, and all other kinds of cliche things to say. But that, as the older I get, and Jazz, I think you probably feel the same way.
Yes, I do.
There's a little less you can deal with every year.
It's true. That's one of the reasons why I stopped doing theater for 5 years, because I just felt like the time was well spent elsewhere.
When you go to work from 9 to 5 every day, or whatever it happens to be your life, and then you go to rehearsal from 6 to 10 or 6 to 10:30, you get really fucking mad when people don't respect your time that you're putting in.
Damn right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we can all agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I put together a fuck you list.
All right. It's the fuck you list, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, this is a list of possible things that could make you leave a production or just leave a job in general. We don't want to alienate people who aren't in theater, so this works for any sort of employment.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to start the fuck you list with number one, no air conditioning in the building in the summer.
Fuck you.
Hell no. Yeah.
That's four fuck yous, that means.
What does that mean?
That means fuck you.
Kill the boss
in the fifth act.
Right. All right, our second, that is definitely a fuck you. I'm going to put a yes by that. Okay, now our next thing is a boss yells at you once. Just one time, a boss yells at you. To clarify, this is yelling at you by yourself. There's no one around.
I was going to say, it depends on who's witnessing this stuff.
No?
That's fine.
That's fine. Have you guys ever been yelled at by a boss?
Yeah.
Sure.
What happened?
I mean, not full voice. I am a...
You've been talked to sternly?
I'm a large man, so many people watch how they speak to me, whether they're mad or not.
Absolutely. So,
would you pay somebody to just yell at you?
Would I pay somebody to yell at
you? Yeah, because it's something you like never experience. Because I'll do it. For $5.
What else would you do for $5?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
We can go on to the list. The fuck you list.
That's right.
Yeah, the fuck list. That's a different list.
We did that last week.
Yeah, right.
It was our Hump Island bang list edition.
Yeah, the bangables.
Get laid.
So, can you remember a time when you got yelled at?
I got yelled at. I was working for my dad, who is larger than me. So,
intimidating dude.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, I had fucked up. So it was like, okay, I deserve it. So I took it like a man. It was cool. But
yeah, when it's your dad, it's a different story, too.
Yeah.
It's some weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Mickey?
Yeah, I used to play hockey. I moved away from home when I was 16 to play hockey. And we were back in Chicago to play some, like, team. And I made a cross-ice pass that got intercepted and we got scored on. And this young coach pulls me aside and just starts railing against me like, you fucking idiot. Like, this is the third time today you've made that pass. And I just looked at him and I said, fuck off. And I got benched. I didn't even make it back on the ice in the third period.
Wow.
And in front of my home crowd, I was pissed.
That'll do it for you. How about you, Jazz? You remember any time?
You know, I'm going to plead the fifth on this one, because I can't recall any moments like that unless they were in my recent job experience, which I don't want to discuss, or during my time working at Straw Dog Theater Company, which I also don't want to discuss because, you know, it's water under the bridge.
Right.
It's water under the bridge.
This is why we don't quit, though.
Yeah.
We're always afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that.
That is true.
There is a little bit of
that. I remember one time I was 17, maybe 18 years old, and I worked at a butcher shop. And it was me and a couple other kids from my high school worked at this butcher shop. And I'd sit there and I'd like basically take a table saw and like sides of cow and cut steaks off of it.
Oh my gosh, you were how old doing this?
17, 18, jeez, something like that. And then we'd get like big boxes of chicken with the breast bones still in. We'd have to fillet the chicken breast, whatever.
Wow.
And one of the guys who worked there, his name was Rush. Rush brought in a big old bottle of Bacardi rum.
Oh boy, here we go.
And he brought in a bottle of Bacardi rum, and we had some Mountain Dew. me and a couple of the other guys just got blasted on this Bacardi at work. Wow. Around all these knives and table saws.
Yeah, not good.
And the boss of the store came in and took us all individually and yelled at us individually. But we knew it was coming. And sure, the other ones of us were waiting right outside the door to get yelled at individually. You know?
And so did you stay with the job?
I stayed. He didn't fire us.
Okay.
And I stayed until I left to go to college.
They still needed you.
Yeah, they needed me.
All right.
To smoke ribs in the parking lot and cut up chicken breast all day long.
Wow. Okay.
Make some potato salad.
Huh. All right.
So that one is off the hook. You don't get fired for that, or you don't quit for that one. Okay, now just quickly, your boss yells at you in front of other people, other coworkers.
Yeah, that's a big fuck you, man. You can't do that.
Fuck you from Jazz.
Fuck you.
Fuck you from Ricky. Ricky, you'll take it like a man.
If you show up late. If you show up 30 minutes late to a rehearsal and everybody wants to say fuck you and your boss doesn't, then fuck him or her.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Yeah, there you go. I agree with that.
That's a good point.
Like, you got to lead the ship.
Usually, sure, though, if you show up 30 minutes late to rehearsal, you are so embarrassed.
Yeah.
That there is nothing, yes, anyone can say to you to ease your embarrassment. And
true.
You know you let everyone down.
Sure.
Right,
I guess
right,
like a 30-minute, like, no, you haven't said you were going to do it. Or you just, maybe you don't show. You just don't show the whole room.
Well, you're just a dick if you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should fire you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They should fire you. The only other good thing that I was thinking about being yelled at publicly by somebody is that it totally gives you the license to yell the fuck back. And that is something I really enjoy.
Is
I enjoy
it?
A good argument. Oh, yeah. I'm a really good arguer.
Oh, man.
So don't anybody start shit with me.
I'm a huge pussy. Anybody yells at me, I'm like, yes, sir. No matter what. It could be a kid. Like a 7-year-old kid could be like, you're an asshole. And I'll be like, yes, sir. Sorry. Whatever
sorry,
you say, ma'am.
Sorry, sir.
When I got to New York when I was 22, I got off the train and two guys were walking across the street intersection. They bumped into each other. And they love fighting so much,
oh, yeah,
but they didn't have the fucking time. So they kept going their separate ways, and they had a fuck you match. You know, like, fuck you! No, hey, fuck you! And fucking this went on for a full block and a half.
I love
and
it.
I thought, this is New York.
Yeah, here you are.
There you go.
They just couldn't quit.
I love it.
All right, here's a good one. Your paycheck doesn't clear.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
And that gets the
big time. Yeah, especially, I mean, and I hate to disparage arts organizations, but when you do work for arts organizations and they can't get the money right, man.
Have you ever worked for Bailiwick?
Oh my God.
I haven't, so it's
just as an example of a possible place right, where that might happen.
Nor shall you.
Yeah. Nor shall you. That's right.
That's right. Oh, that's funny stuff. We'll just bleep that out for you.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, Ricky,
fuck them.
They're not hiring me anyways.
As right, a company member, I take offense to that. All right, no.
Well, I mean, the current company is paying and their checks are going through. But
right,
there was a time.
You're talking about the old Zach days.
Hey, you stop it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, I know. Well, y'all know.
I didn't want to mention it, but. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you had to go straight
to
the
bank. That was famous. That was in the paper.
I know. It's true.
All right. Obviously, another thing is we're not talking about any kind of sexual assault or any kind of times when your body is in danger or anything
that. No.
All of that stuff is illegal and you should leave immediately. Let's just say that right now.
Besides, okay, we talked about all that stuff during the news.
That's right.
Am I right?
Your boss making you butt chug in Cincinnati. It's time to go.
It is time to go.
All right, you bang a coworker.
Ooh.
And it's a one-time thing.
Oh.
Sex with a coworker.
Sex with
is
a coworker.
Is it time to go?
It just depends on how good the sex was.
Yeah, probably.
If it's bad sex, I can't see you every day because then I would be obliged to tell you how horrible it was. And then hopefully, you know, can help you fix it a little bit. But
right.
That's not your job.
A little
session. That's not my job, you know.
Right.
That's a little tutoring session.
Yeah.
I mean, do you continue to bang throughout the process of your show? And if so, like, it might help the show. But if you stop right there and it's a problem, then...
Yeah.
Yeah, it just depends.
Yeah.
All right, let's take it up a notch. You bang a married coworker.
Oh.
Gotta go.
Yeah. But I think that's more on you. You gotta go.
Yes.
You made a huge mistake.
Yes.
Big time.
Both
but
parties.
Also, you should think that the married person would say, I gotta go. This was terrible.
Yeah.
This was a really bad idea. When they wake up from whatever, what is it called? Like your hormones. Are in
your
the
pheromones?
Air. Your pheromones have left their nostrils, and all of a sudden, they're back in reality. They'd be like, holy shit, what have I done?
Yeah.
I got to get out of this.
Remorse.
Yeah.
Remorse. Great remorse.
It's always weird when people don't feel remorse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, are you ever like, how come you don't feel guilty about it?
Have you ever been like that with yourself, though? I've been like that with myself. Like, you know what? I just did something really awful, and...
I feel fine.
I don't feel a
theft,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Theft from major companies.
Oh, like yeah.
Big box stores.
The company that rhymes with Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't mind stealing.
I used to be a really good shoplifter, and yeah, I didn't have a lot of remorse for it because I was like, these
too broke.
Yeah,
you were like Aladdin in your brain.
Exactly.
Just trying to eat and feed your
That's
monkey.
Right. You could get really healthy food for a really low zero price.
Exactly. Wow. Mostly what I stole was music. I would steal cassettes. I was a cassette thief.
You were ahead of your time.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
Now you have to remember this is in the 1940s when cassettes weren't even popular.
I was the original Napster.
So banging coworkers, fuck you or no fuck you?
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
All right, that gets the blast.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, and I feel like we need to clarify the point. Are you talking about when a superior is fucking someone at your place of work?
No,
or
you.
Just you doing it?
You
okay.
doing it.
All right. Okay.
If your superior, if your boss is fucking your coworker, who cares?
Really?
I think. Yeah, don't
okay.
you think?
No.
Unless they get special treatment.
Well, that's usually what happens, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Not all
I'm really okay. bad at telling. If any of that's, I can't really figure it out. My
yeah, I'm not usually good at it either, but then you start finding out things and you realize stuff and you're like, oh, yeah. that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's
like Susan blew Daryl in the stairwell. You're like, what?
Right.
That's why he likes Susan so much.
Uh-huh.
That's why they were in the stairwell.
It's the blowjob stairwell, is it?
Susan is probably lonely, and she needed it. So.
She did. She's not married.
Right.
Maybe she is.
She okay. had two cats.
She went home and blew the cats.
Oh,
fuck you, Susan,
yeah,
basically.
Basically.
Your work is unfulfilling. I don't know about that. I usually stick at unfulfilling things.
Well, this is another area where I feel like we have to kind of clarify, like, what sort of job are we talking about? A theater job, it's a lot more common for there to be hanky-panky. And in a, you know, 9-to-5 kind of job, it's a little more likely for you to be unfulfilled in your work. So what are we
That's
talking
true.
About here?
Well, is it? I mean, we don't really have 9-to-5 jobs, so... It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. I do.
I don't.
You don't have a desk job at a, like a,
no.
in a cubicle.
True.
But if you were going to the water cooler at a 9-to-5 and you screwed a coworker,
yeah,
isn't that more of an HR issue than
yeah.
it is like
oh,
a
yeah, that could be a big problem.
HR.
Yeah. yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like if you bang somebody in a show, it's just kind of expected.
Right? Sort of.
Yeah.
But if you do it before opening night,
yeah.
you figure there's going to be a showmance or two.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Your coworker throws you under the bus because something didn't go right.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
That's more of a real job kind of
well,
thing.
Well, I guess that depends. Like, what didn't go right? Like, I was supposed to hit you in the toe, and I accidentally hit you with a knife in the eye. Like,
oh,
yeah.
You're talking about like stage combat stuff, here.
Yeah,
back
yeah sure.
Okay. Oh, I'm saying like, what if the Henderson reports don't get finished on time?
Oh.
Because Alex went out and missed work and had a party and went to the horse track all day.
Oh man! Mm-hmm. And then he saw it on Facebook and told the boss.
Old man Johnson comes back and he says, "Where's the Henderson report?" And you're like, "Alex was supposed to help me do this, and now my TPIs are all messed up because right. Alex isn't here."
Yeah.
It's all those things.
That's I don't know, but they sounded very convincing. So keep it
so
up.
So now Alex totally fucked you, but then he comes back and he said, "Well, Andy didn't do his job, and so how can I finish the TPIs or do the Venn diagram that I'm supposed to do?"
Right.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. With all due respect, Mr. Johnson.
And then Mr. Johnson yells at you about the TPIs.
Oh, man. That's a mess. I hate it when that happens.
Mm-mm. Anyway, so that's a no fuck you, I'm guessing, mm-mm. from the room.
Nah, it's not that big mm-mm. of a deal. You deal with it.
You get rumors that the business is going under.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
fuck you.
Wow. Yeah, that's
time
not
to go.
That's no good. Especially if it doesn't come from the boss and you know, that's you can't have that sort of stuff coming from outside sources.
So that's a fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Are we talking about hard quits? Are we talking about hard quits?
Ooh,
like
hard
where we come in and we go, "I quit." Or are we talking about, "Well, I'm quitting, but I'm going to go look for other jobs"? Are we talking about the coward's way, or are we talking about the,
no, we're talking
the hero's
about,
way? You know?
We're talking like, about hardcore, "I quit."
Not the wow. coward's way. Wow.
The coward's way.
Well,
we're always,
way, yeah.
I like to
we're
think
nothing
that we're
good.
Always doing the coward's way of quitting.
I gave my 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm always looking for a better job.
Yeah, you got to be.
No, I've never stopped one day from trying to find a better job.
I guess I mean like going in and be like, "Look, my experience here was very fulfilling, but you know, the grass is greener on this side." It's like, "No, fuck you, that's bullshit." Like, you had an awful experience and you should let the company know why, or else it's going to be the same thing for Joe Schmo number 4 who comes in after you and wants to blow his co-worker.
Or blow his brains out.
Or blow his brains out. And then blow his co-worker, then blow his brains out.
Probably. Well, yeah, I think you're right. You got to give honest feedback when you do your exit interview. That's for sure. You can't just go in there with the shotgun.
Okay, here we go. Let's just do another couple. You decide to take a year off to follow Phish on tour. Do you just say fuck you, or do you let them know? Even though you won't be back for a year, you're not looking for work.
Oh, man.
You're not going to be looking for a job.
Fuck you.
Fuck them.
Fuck you.
There we go.
Why not? If you're that devoted to Phish,
yeah,
you got a chance, you got a miracle, and you can hit the road, take it.
This is one that happened to me a couple years ago. That I still think about pretty much every day in my job and hope
wow.
I never get like this.
Oh, my.
Your friends and family start to say, "You're no fun. When did you get so grumpy, angry, tired, and depressed?"
Really?
Wow.
Since I wanted to pay my bills on time, bitch.
Yeah, right?
It's usually...
So it's more like fuck the family than right. fuck the job.
Yeah. It usually happened. It happened to me the one time. After I worked at a job for a year, and I would come home so upset every day because I hated this fucking job so much, but I felt like I had to have this job.
Yeah.
You know? I need to have this job.
Gotta have a job.
Because I can see myself moving up the ladder and whatever.
Oh.
And then you're finally, you know, you come home, and, you know, Nikki, my girlfriend, was like, "You're having, like, you're waking up, you have fucking terrible nightmares, you're always an asshole about everything, you can't separate your stress from work with the rest of your life,"
oy.
You know? So to me, that for me is a big fuck you.
Come back to me, I need to think about this one.
I'm with it. You know, you got to put all that other stuff before the job.
There's lots of jobs.
Yeah, well, there aren't lots of jobs,
but there's only, you only get to live one time.
True that.
True.
That's the more important point, I believe.
I guess you're right, because I was in a work situation where I was like, "Oh, I'm not happy every day I come here." And then I was like, "Forget it."
Because
I would literally go to work, and as soon as I walked in, like, "Ugh, I'm depressed."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
"No, I'm good."
And right 8 hours feels like 40 hours.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like it never ends.
Yep. Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather be homeless than be at some
right,
place?
Right, right. I was like, I'd rather just go hustle somewhere, you know, and just... get something, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'd rather dumpster dive than work at a place that makes me feel that bad.
Yeah.
I would rather dumpster dive than work at any place.
My man.
There you go.
But like Mickey O'Sullivan. Selling weed.
That's right. Dumpster diving and selling weed. The American dream.
If you can walk into a place and invest yourself into it and get nothing in return and just feel like crap, yes, fuck you. But if you go into a place, you don't give anything to it. You don't invest any of your money, heart, soul, whatever you want into that business, or and then you expect some great like feeling at work, then you're fucking yourself.
That's true. That's true. So then, you know, you would just fuck yourself.
All right, let's do one more on the fuck you list.
All right.
Your employer downgrades your insurance.
Ooh, fuck you.
Your health insurance?
Yeah, right. Fuck you. That doesn't you can't matter. Do that.
I just got it anyway, so whatever.
Take it down. I didn't know it was up.
Right. Oh. Okay, so, okay,
you can't
whatever.
Just do that without people asking. That is some underhanded shit.
Oh,
man.
Without even notice? Yeah, fuck off.
Come on, that's horse shit.
I'd be like,
this dude just did this.
John Starks knows what I'm talking about.
He had his benefits downgraded.
They were like, hey, we just downgraded your benefits, John Starks.
Did this dude just did this?
Yes, that's right. We did.
And speaking of...
Poor John Starks.
Poor John
Starks.
Shotgun Starks.
Blasted in the face.
Oh, Lord God.
All right, Jess, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to play Trivia Treasure Trove with Mickey O'Sullivan and Ricky Harris.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, Mickey.
Oh, Ricky.
Fun times await on the other side of the break.
Thousands of years ago, the reptilian beings from the constellation Orion intervened on planet Earth and began interbreeding with humans through the manipulation of the human coding, or DNA. It is no coincidence that humans with reptilian genetics are running our society. With reptilians ranging from movie stars to athletes to powerful politicians, it is important to identify and stay clear of the lizard person of the week. This week's lizard person of the week is none other than the reptilian Dave Coulier. Lovingly known as Uncle Joey from 90s sitcom Full House, Dave Coulier's second big claim to fame is allegedly being the inspiration behind ex-girlfriend Alanis Morissette's angry 1995 song, You Oughta Know. His third biggest claim to fame is his insatiable desire for human flesh and his sideways blinking. When Dave Coulier isn't busy having low blood pressure or disrupting electrical appliances, you can usually find him doing that jackalope voice on a cartoon or playing hockey with friends. Coulier was spotted as a reptilian because of the basic characteristics he possesses that are directly in line with that of a powerful lizard person. Coulier has never been seen wearing a hearing aid. Dave Coulier has a backbone and breathes with lungs. His opinion on worldly issues is valued by 80% of Americans, leading to his direct influence over most governmental agencies. If you or someone you love is ever close to Dave Coulier, star of the 1990s sitcom Full House, do not engage with him. Remain still and calm, as his eyesight is based on heat. If you are carrying meat in your pockets, remove it as quickly as possible, for there is nothing more enticing to Dave Coulier than burned flesh. According to our initial research at the Lizard Person Institute, actor-comedian Dave Coulier is carrying at the present time up to 800 soft baby membrane sacs within his scaly uterus. Please do not punch Dave Coulier, even in an emergency, as these soft eggs may come out of his butt and hatch to grow to be an average of 17 feet in length.
Hi, Michelle. It's me, Kermit the Frog. You don't want to cry, do ya?
Dave Coulier always goes to an impression he knows best for cheering up children. A frog. This has been Lizard Person of the Week.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Welcome back, Jazz.
Hey, welcome back, Anderson.
Here we are on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Yep, right where they left us.
Sitting right here next to Ricky Harris.
Yeah, buddy.
And Mickey O'Sullivan.
Greetings,
O'Sullivan.
Earthlings.
Now it's time to play our game, Jazz.
That's right, Anderson.
Trivia Treasure Trove.
That's right. Trivia Treasure Trove. The game where everything matters, anything goes, and nothing is sacred.
Now, Jazz, here to play the game today, we have Jazz, James Anthony Zoakley.
That's me.
Ricky Harris.
And that's him.
Mickey O'Sullivan.
That's that other guy.
Now, Jazz, tell us how we play Trivia Treasure Trove.
All right. Listen up, contestants. This is how to play Trivia Treasure Trove. Our philosophy here at the Game Show Show and Stuff is the devil is in the details, so pay attention or go to hell. You're about to hear a series of complicated questions with simple answers or vice versa, where your ability to retain useless information will prove very useful. This week, it's the Greatest Plays edition, where you will hear the title of one of the greatest plays ever with one key word omitted from the title. Fill in the blank correctly and get a point. Get enough points and win the game. And remember, there may be no stupid questions, but there are stupid people, and that's how you play. Everyone say it with me.
Trivia Treasure Trove.
That's right.
Wow.
So, Anderson, while you explain where you got your list from, I'm going to get our noisemakers for our contestants to buzz in.
Ooh. All right, excellent. Can I also have a pen while you're up, Jazz?
Sure, you can get one.
Yeah, there's tons of pens. Why don't you guys be a deer and hand me a pen? There we go. Okay, thank you so very
All right, you want pizza,
much.
Hot dog, or donut, or chicken?
Pizza.
Pizza for Ricky.
Donut.
Donut for Mickey. And Jazz has chicken. Also, you guys feel free to just yell things out. It'll be way funnier. Okay. All right.
Know
now,
how it works.
There's a the head theater critic from The Guardian newspaper. His name is Michael Billington.
That's right.
He's very uppity.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say pretentious because I've never met the guy.
No.
But he likes a lot of stuff that I don't know anything about. I'm sure he likes to watch Frasier reruns. And he picked a list of the 101 greatest plays as told by Michael Billington. Okay? All
right. Very nice. Okay, so contestants, when you want to buzz in, you're going to want to squeak your squeaker at the microphone. Can we get a little sound check? Ricky? Mickey? And this is me. All right, they're all very different.
Very different. The listeners will be sure to pick which one it is.
They'll know. They'll know right away.
Also, feel free to scream over each other as long as it's funny.
Haphazardly. That's how Anderson likes it.
Okay, now I'm going to give you the name of the play with one word missing. You get 1 point if you can name me the word that's missing, and you get 1 point if you can name the author as well.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so here we go. Our first one. Assembly blank. Mickey.
Line.
No. Damn. Jazz.
Assembly park.
Assembly park is incorrect. Ricky.
Assembly line.
We already said that one, and that is also incorrect. It is Assembly Women. Now, who wrote Assembly Women?
Oh. Neil Abute.
That is incorrect.
Oh, right.
He doesn't write about women.
Yeah, that's it.
Assembly Anybody? Women. Oh.
Go ahead, Jazz.
The Greek guy.
Which one?
Aristotle.
No.
No.
Socrates?
No, it is Aristophanes.
Assembly
women.
The bastard child of Aristotle and Sophocles.
Yeah. Aristophanes!
That's right.
So close.
Jazz, we'll give you a half point for that one.
Oh,
great job.
Thanks.
Here we go, our next one. The blank Menaechmus. The blank Menaechmus. This is number 5 on the greatest plays ever.
Really?
Written.
The glass?
The blank Menaechmus.
He's just Tennessee Williams,
shit. Right. Tennessee Williams?
The glass Menaechmus?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. The glass Menaechmus.
I don't know what a Menaechmus is, but I don't think I want one made out of glass.
A bunch of play majors can't figure out the name of the 5th greatest play ever written.
The mystical Menaechmus.
The mystical Menaechmus is not correct,
Oh,
Jazz.
Man. No, I don't know, man. I got no guesses.
The answer is the brothers Menaechmus.
Oh.
Menaechmus?
Menaechmus.
Man, Anderson.
Phenomena.
Who knows? And who wrote the brothers Menaechmus?
I don't know.
Tennessee Williams.
It was Plautus.
Plautus.
Mm. He wrote that in
200
BC.
He's so old.
5th greatest play ever written. Don't forget it, Tracy. Okay, our next one. 12th blank.
Night. 12th night.
Night. Everybody gets a point. And who wrote 12th night?
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, and another point from me.
Correct.
Night. Excellent.
Well done, everybody. Good job.
Or what you will.
Or what you will. That's right. Well done. You should get a bonus point for
bonus
that
bonus point. Throw it on there.
For sure.
Is that or what you will? Is that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. That's not on here.
It's like, yeah, what's this play called, Shakespeare? It's called 12th Night. Or what you will.
Yeah.
Well, we have no way of researching that, so I'm going to assume that's incorrect. In fact, I'm obliged to remove a point. Such blatant disrespect for the game. Okay. A mad blank, my masters.
Ooh.
A mad blank, my masters.
A mad blank,
my masters. What the hell?
This is the 13th greatest play ever written, dickheads. Jazz.
A madman.
No, madman is incorrect.
A madhouse.
No, not madhouse.
A mad master.
Mad cat master. Oh. No, neither of those are correct. It is a mad world, my masters.
Oh.
By, say it with me.
Aristophanes.
Five for fighting.
By Thomas Middleton.
Oh, Thomas Middleton.
Oh, okay.
I think he wrote a play called A New Way to Pay Old Debts about whoring.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, everyone gets a point removed.
Fantastic.
The blank devil. Jazz.
The white devil.
That's right. By who?
By Jacob Webster?
No. Close.
By Michael Webster?
Nope. Emmanuel Lewis. Regular Webster.
Regular Webster.
By who wrote that one? John Webster.
John Webster. All right. So that was close.
Pretty good.
I thought
that
was good.
Well, The White Devil by John Webster is the 17th greatest play ever written.
Wow. Mm. We did that at my college when I went there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Were you the devil?
No.
Were you in that one?
Wasn't in it.
Oh, good for you.
But I did see it.
All
was
right.
Was it good?
Yeah. It was actually really good. It was very bloody.
Blank without revenge. Blank without revenge.
Life.
Life without revenge. Any other takers?
Justice without revenge?
Closer.
Love.
Without revenge. Ooh, that sounds like the Ricky Harris story. I'm sorry, you're all wrong. It is Punishment Without Revenge. Now, who wrote Punishment Without Revenge?
Mel Gibson.
The famous playwright, Melanie Gibson. Correct. Jazz?
Oh, man. Thomas Middle Church.
No, that's incorrect. This is a guy, I'm not even sure his real name. It sounds like a street fighter. What do you think?
Tennessee Williams.
The gayest street fighter. His name was Lope de Vega.
Oh, Lope de Vega. That does sound like a street fighter character.
Right? Here we go. Life is a blank.
Dream.
Mickey, you got it. Life is a dream. Ooh, there you
slow
go.
On the squeaker.
There we go. Now, who wrote Life is a Dream, Mickey?
I did.
That's incorrect.
Emmanuel.
Nope, wrong. Next, Emmanuel Lewis. Oh. Here we go, Jazz.
Yes.
Life is a Dream.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Oh, Groucho Marx.
No. Oh, good guess, though.
By row
your boat. By Pedro Calderon de la Barca.
Oh.
Ooh, Pedro.
1600.
Peter of the boat.
But who translated it for us, Anderson?
I don't think it was ever translated.
It was.
It never was.
The Spanish blame, Anderson.
never translated. Blank preserved.
Oy.
Blank preserved. Another nonsense play on this list of shitty plays.
Life preserved.
Life preserved. The lifeboat story. What are those orange vests called? Life preservers.
Life preservers.
I'm going to say sanity preserved.
Ooh, good guess. Not correct.
Love.
No.
Ooh.
It was Venice Preserved.
Venice.
By Preserve. Thomas Otway.
Otway, of course.
Famous Otway.
Yeah.
Here's a famous one. I'm going to give you the author, and you tell me the blanks, okay?
Okay.
The author was William Congreve.
Okay.
Duh.
Right.
And the play is called Blank for Blank. Now, it's the same word in both blanks.
Right.
William Congreve.
Congreve.
My main man wrote a play called Blank for Blank. Jazz.
Love for Love.
Boom! Yes, everybody! That's the point for Jazz.
I actually heard of that one. Believe it or not. Took me a second to recall it, but I got it.
The Blank Officer.
Good.
No. Although that might be a play, too, though. But I don't think that's this one. The Blank Officer.
The Petty Officer.
No.
No?
I've seen that porno movie. The Pretty Officer.
The Naval Officer.
No, I'm sorry. It is The Recruiting Officer by George Farquhar.
Right.
Oh, right.
Here we go. I'm going to do a bunch in a row, and we'll go quickly, okay, Jazz?
Okay,
are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let me get some good music here.
Okay.
This is going to be some music that's going to turn up the pace, okay?
It's going to turn.
We're going to get turned right now.
Turned it.
So I want everybody to be on their best squeaky action here and really let your brains fly.
Really let your brains fly.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm turned.
All right, everybody's turned. Here we go.
Turned.
The Game of Love and Blank.
Assholes.
Incorrect. The Game of Love and...
Misery.
No. Game of Love and...
And Life.
No, the Game of Love and Chance. The Servant of Two...
Masters.
Yes. By who?
Assholes.
Yeah, that's right. She Blanks to Conquer.
Stoops.
Stoops all around. Everybody gets a point for Stoops. Good job, Stoopers. The Blank for Scandal. Mickey.
School.
Oh, Jazz. Yes, that's right. The School for Scandal. Who wrote that? Three, two.
Moliere.
No. Richard Brinsley Sheridan. The Blank of Figaro.
The Marriage.
Yep,
Marriage, yes. Ricky got one. There you go. Great job. Ricky's way behind, but he's catching right up. Nathan the Blank.
Nathan.
Great.
Nope.
Conqueror.
No, Nathan. Hi, I'm Nathan the Conqueror. Nathan the Wise. McGuffold Ephraim Lessing.
Oh, wow.
The Blank Jug.
Water Jug.
No. Good one.
Plain That's... jug.
No.
The love jug.
Love jug. It is the Broken Jug by Von Kleist. The Blank of Hamburg.
Duke? Duke
is it
of Hamburg?
The, no, close.
The Union.
The Union of Hamburg is incorrect, Ricky.
The Love of Hamburg.
I was just going to say love for everything from here on out. Maybe, why not? It's the Prince of Hamburg. The Blank Inspector.
The General Inspector.
Oh. Close. No, they're incorrect.
Oh.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. They just did it at Next Theater a couple years ago.
By Nikolai Gogol.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Come on. It's,
What is it?
General Inspector?
Nope. Dang. That's what he said.
Oh, you
Private.
Said General.
Nope. It is the Government Inspector.
Oh, was that way off?
An Italian blank hat. An Italian blank hat.
An Italian felt hat.
Close.
Silk.
No, silk is close. How about you?
Flannel.
Flannel hat is incorrect. It is an Italian straw hat. Another very popular play. 42nd most popular play on Earth, apparently. A Blank's House.
A Doll's House by Henry Gibson.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
The Blank Duck.
The...
Ricky.
Ugly.
Ugly Duck is wrong.
It's gone. The Love Duck.
Here we go again with the Love Duck.
I lost it.
Anybody?
The Clumsy Duck.
It's the Wild Duck, also by Ibsen.
I did that in the grad school.
Wow. You should be.
The Importance of Blank Earnest.
The Importance of Being Earnest.
Ernest goes to school.
Fucking Ernest.
Ernest goes to camp.
The Importance of Fucking Ernest. The Blank Orchard.
Cherry Orchard.
By Chekhov.
Blank Awakening.
Spring Awakening.
You know what? I did that play. By there Franz is no Wittgen. Way. There is no way on fucking earth that is 49th greatest play ever written.
What about that Limp Bizkit?
Hey, it's right in front of Waste by Harley Granville Barker.
Wow. Don't know that one.
Blank Bernardi.
Wow. That was a happy.
Heavy set Bernardi.
Saint Bernardi.
Saint Bernardi. That's what I was going to say.
No, that's incorrect.
Oh, man.
Here's a. We'll do two more. Blank and the Paycock.
Maniac.
Juno and the Paycock.
Yeah,
William
there
Shakespeare.
You go. Oh. There you go. No, Sean O'Casey.
Or Sean O'Casey. Whatever. I don't know.
William Shakespeare. The Blank Page.
The Blank Page.
The Written Page.
Wrong.
The Love Page.
It's the Front Page. And the House of Blank Alba.
Bernardo.
Bernarda.
Bernarda Alba. All right.
Wow. Great job. There
wow.
we go. We did
Good
great.
Job, guys.
Let's do a quick score recap. Ricky managed to scrape out two... measly points. Out of that.
Really, really old plays. Nobody yeah, knows these plays.
Hell, really terrible performance by Ricky. Another bad performance by Mickey O'Sullivan with 4 points.
Oh man!
I really thought Mel Gibson would have gotten me multiple
yeah,
points.
Yeah, Melody there. Gibson. Yeah. And Jazz walks away with a win with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.5 points.
Whoa.
You know what that means.
Jazz!
I am the champion of the game show and stuff tonight and in perpetuity throughout the universe. Oh, man. I've never won a game on our show before.
Go ahead. You take yourself anything out of this room home with you.
I will. I'll do just that.
Ricky Harris, where can we find you?
I am currently music directing a show at Victory Gardens. The House That Will Not Stand. They will open in 2 weeks.
Wow.
I'm remounting a show this summer that I'll be opening at the end of the July, direct from Death Row, the Scottsboro Boys at Raven Theater.
Ooh, big wow. show. That was a big popular yes. show. That was like number one on everybody's list.
Yep. Did not get one bad review at all in the entire city.
And that's awesome.
Put Raven on the map.
Yeah, no one had heard of Raven Theater until this
one. The one lady on TV, she's like, we don't talk about Raven Theater much, but now we are.
Wow, that's good.
Then first Sunday in August, I'd sing with a little band called the Booty Calls.
Really?
And we'll be singing, performing at the DC Torium on West Armitage.
Wow.
Cool.
The Booty Calls.
The Booty Calls. When duty calls.
Now, can we find you on Twitter someplace?
No, Twitter's too complicated.
I need way more characters than that.
Right. I'm on Facebook, The Ricky Harris, and also Instagram, The Ricky H.
Are you going to gram us tonight?
Oh, yes. I should have live broadcast us tonight.
Oh, excellent. Man. You should have. Oh, well. That's all right. Next time.
All right.
Yeah, we got it.
And you're going to be performing down at the Jeff Awards.
Yes. Next Monday, they asked our cast to perform. So.
Awesome.
I was the music director for this cast, so I'll be playing for that show. And
oh, that's awesome! I'll see you there. I'm the voice of the Jeff Awards.
Oh,
yeah.
So just be you're sure the voice? To announce us.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're Jeff.
I do the well.
Yes,
no.
Mr. Jeff. There he is.
They call me Mr. Jeff.
I've been looking everywhere for you.
No, I'll be up in the booth, looking down from above.
So you'll announce the winners.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean the. Presenters present.
Well.
I just do the announcing.
That's right.
The nice. Public address announcing. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time.
Well, you'll be glad to know the hashtag for the Jeffs this year is hashtag Jeffs So Black.
All right.
Is that right?
I like
yes,
that.
That's what we're creating.
I like that. Good.
We have... There's two all African American shows that are nominated. Plus Rent was nominated, so that's a mixed cast. So.
Do you think because of all this backlash about black people not getting cast in the city that the Jeffs were like, we better fucking get a lot of black people up here?
Well, that may be, but also the two shows that were nominated were phenomenal shows as well.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome.
That's true. Great job. All right, Ricky, thank you so much. Mickey O'Sullivan, what are you up to?
I just shot two films, one called Blood Brothers, about two hitman brother, and the older brother is trying to protect the younger brother, but that's a complicated world in the hitman industry.
Did you play the older brother?
I played the older brother, which was weird for me.
That's funny. I auditioned for that and got a serious look from the director, and took the part.
Sorry.
See, so Anderson gave you a part, and you took a part from me. It's all
that's
like
actually
a,
what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I won't get the roles if somebody else doesn't have, like, a serious contention for it. I'm the guy that, like, I go out to lunch with my friend. My friend's like, oh, I'm going to crash this audition. I'm like, oh, I should do that.
And then you get
Then I get it over him.
Good
and
for you,
man. Friendships.
Yeah. Hey.
Breaks up friendships. Hey, man.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, bro.
Yeah.
I just did a film called En Algún Lugar. I basically just played a really racist asshole, gay boy in a bathroom who is the epitome of why you wouldn't want to be here in America.
The glory hole,
sounds
man.
Sounds great.
Yeah, there was actually talk about putting the glory hole scene in there, but we just didn't have enough time.
Oh, really? No but time?
You don't want to be on film with a bunch of dicks in your face? Come on, man.
No
comment. Chicago, bro.
No
comment.
That's where the money is, okay?
Yeah. That should have been on the fuck you list. Well, they just, a bunch of dicks in your face at work?
They didn't have the money and the budget for the fluffer, so. But I would love to put out a call to all the Chicago theaters.
Go ahead. Mickey's going to make a plea.
I'll do a plea for employment of some sort. And the plea would go as follows. I would love to come to your shows, and I would have somebody come next to me, and they would count how many times I laughed. And then we would publish this, and it would be called The Mickey Review. And it would just simply be a number. And because I think I'm the easiest audience member.
All
I will come to your show. I will laugh at everything that is remotely funny and some of the stuff that isn't.
Okay.
And so if you want a seat filler with a loud laugh, I am more than available and interested to come to your shows. And
can you give us a quick example of the kind of
wow,
that's pretty good. Now that's a full out guffaw. Yeah. Now what if there's something just a little quip?
Nice.
Okay.
The funny thing is, though, that stuff is infectious. So, you know, you get hit the right note.
Mm-hmm.
I've been known to be a lead laugher as well. I've pride myself on being a good audience member. So
I make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have my godmother's mother comes to shows.
Okay.
And she's a 95-year-old woman.
Oh, wow.
And she's a very vocal. She'll turn to the person next to her and go, "Look at that motherfucker," you know? And she did. She came to see our version of Three Sisters, and she was like, "Oh my God, what a slut!" Everybody hears it, you know. But like, we're very like protective of our theater community, and we're like, "Oh no, no!" People like look back at her and like they give her like the stink eye, like, "You shouldn't be talking here.
Oh,
it's a place where nobody talks." And I half agree, and half am like, "Come on, let people have the reaction that they're gonna have."
Yeah, absolutely.
It's theater.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's right. Why would everybody be in the room if you're not supposed to react to stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
Silly.
Anyway, right, Mickey, where can they find you if they want to hire you to laugh at their plays?
You can go to www.mickeyosullivan.com and send me an email at osullivanmickey@gmail.com.
Wow.
Pretty good.
He's got a website. That's fancy.
Now, Jazz, where can you find the Game Show Show and stuff?
Well, obviously you can find the Game Show Show and stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, but also if you look on Facebook, you can search the Game Show Show and Stuff or And Stuff Productions and find us there. We're on Twitter at Game Show Radio, and that's about all we do halfway decently well on social media.
Well, you can also find the Game Show Show on iTunes.
Oh, that's right. Stitcher, now you can.
Stitcher.
Yeah.
TuneIn. iPlay or
Google Play.
Go, yeah, some shit like that. Just go to any place where you can get a thing, you can get a show.
Here's the thing. Now that we're on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, we can be found on all of the
places,
podcast outlets.
Right.
Thanks to them.
You can download the app.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Download the app right now. So I hope you guys all had a great time. This is probably going to be our first broadcast show.
It
we got some
be.
Mothers in the can
that's
that maybe
right.
you'll hear later. But in the meantime, Jazz.
Yeah.
See you next Tuesday. Oi, 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 oi.